the song says, as a worm such as I, you have the power to save. There is no sinner too deep, too far away. God, if there's someone in here with us today, may they hear this testimony that this is a room full of people who were far from God and who could do nothing but say, help me, Lord, which is why all our hope is in you, Jesus, and the work of the cross, that we could come to you, yet not I, but only through Christ in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you notice, since I'm standing here today, I have not been called to another church. I have missed the last three Sundays, which was incredibly unusual for me, but I had two out-of-state weddings that I had to officiate. And in between that, I took my had to take my JROTC kids to their summer camp, usually during a week, but over a weekend this year for some reason. And so I got to pay the bills, so I got to do my junior ROTC job. And so that's why I've been gone. I did get a message the other night, Tuesday night. I got a message. So you've been called to another church. And I said, no, why? That's not true. And so I had to clarify that there are rumors spreading around Vernon Parish, apparently. But I'm still on staff here. All right? So the second thing is that today's Father's Day. It's the first Father's Day without my father, who I lost in December. Most of you understand that. And the world's different, you know, when you don't have a father on this earth. Thankfully, I have a father-in-law who loves me like a son. And today we're going to talk about discerning truth. And when we talk about fathers, I'm just going to talk truth today. If you're okay with that, I'm going to speak facts. Is that children do better in life when there's a father in the home. And so I'm not going to, I know Pastor Tommy always worries that we celebrate mothers on Mother's Day and then we bash fathers on Father's Day. I'm not going to bash fathers. I'm thanking fathers who are in the home doing what you're supposed to do. I'm thanking you men who've maybe stepped up to be the father figure for a young person who needs a father figure in their life. It's incredibly important, especially in this day and age, that we have fathers in the home who are being spiritual leaders, and I celebrate those of you who are doing that. So thank you, fathers. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. When I first glanced at this, I said, I could do this in 5 minutes. But there's actually a lot here that we're going to get into. Only 6 verses, but it's a lot. This is the key verse for me, is verse 2. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And so three things we're going to look at, and first of all is understanding that Spirit of truth, understanding the Spirit of truth. The second is testing the spirit of deception. And the third thing is we're going to look at prevailing. How do we prevail over false spirits? You know, I can't stand this movement about my truth. When people say, this is my truth. You know, truth is not relative. You can't say that your feelings define truth for you, because your feelings don't define truth. The other thing is you might even have an opinion based on an experience that doesn't make it truth. See, because truth is fundamental and it's eternal. And truth is God, and truth is of God, and truth is of the Word. And Jesus Christ represents truth. And that's what we have to understand. And this whole movement toward, well, your truth is different than my truth, there's a problem in our society. And so we're going to talk a little bit about today, and let's talk about understanding the spirit of truth. Verses 1 and 2. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, notice how John specifically references, confesses Jesus Christ coming in flesh. See, that confession is still the most important decision we could ever make. That we believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh and died on the cross for our sins. And in John's day, which we're not really dealing with, or we don't have to deal with it in the way he did, he was dealing with a group of heretics, heresy that was being pushed on people, which was Gnosticism. And Gnosticism, if I summed it up, basically says that everything that's of the material world, everything that's material is evil, and everything that's of the spiritual world, the spirit world, is good. And so therefore, for the Gnostics, Jesus could never have actually been in flesh. He had to be just a spirit moving around on earth. But see, that's not who he was, because the nails actually went into those wrists and through those ankles, and he hung on that cross and he died. See, because he came in the flesh. Now, that's a mystery for our feeble minds to completely grasp and understand, that Jesus could be holy God, 100% God, and at the same time, 100% man, holy man. But that's what he was. That's who he was. And that's what we must confess. And if we can't grasp that, if we won't accept that, there's a childlike faith involved in that. If we won't believe that, then really the rest of the Bible for us is kind of out the window. And we need to understand that. See, and here's the problem, is that Jesus, for those who don't understand that, you got to understand, holy man, holy flesh. He was spiritual, he was holy God. And he was physical, material, he was holy man. Now, how do we understand the Spirit of truth? You know, there's three ways we can understand the Spirit of truth, three primary ways. And first one is to start with the Bible. Start in God's Word. This gives you the Spirit of truth. God's Word. And that's the place we need to start. Now, the thing is that some people have a problem with that. Because, first of all, every word in here is inspired by God. Written by men, inspired of God. They wrote down what God had directed them to write down. Amen. Now, the problem people have with that, well, that makes it kind of like an autobiography. This is God talking about God. So God can say what he wants to say about himself. It's kind of like if you read an autobiography, you got to take every autobiography you read with a grain of salt, because you're going to make yourself. I wrote my autobiography. I'm not going to talk about all the terrible things I ever did in my life in my autobiography. I might mention one or two of them, but I'm not going to spill it all. I'm going to try to build myself up a little bit. And some people would say, well, God, If this is from God, then God can say what he wants. But here's the thing. God didn't hold back. The good, the bad, and the ugly is in here. In this way. He didn't hold back and just give us the good stuff. He didn't just give us the lovey stuff. He gave us the righteousness stuff. It said, hey, I got a holy righteousness that means I have to avenge sin. I have to punish sin. You know, how many of you guys had the had baby decorations that were Noah's Ark? You know, baby decorations. A lot of people had a little mobile that was Noah's Ark. You got little toys in the children's room, Noah's Ark. Maybe some little wallpaper, curtains. That's the most horrific thing that's ever happened in history. God gives it to us in his autobiography. He said, I had to do this because the world was evil and I can't be in the presence of evil. I mean, think about it. The theologians and historians say that at that time in history, there was probably somewhere between 2 billion and up to as many as 10 billion people on the earth. Think of the cries of anguish as they went under those waters. Think about those people moving to high ground, screaming and begging and pleading for their lives, knowing that they were about to die. Think of the bloated bodies of humans and animals just floating around in those floodwaters. It's the most horrific scene that I can think of. And you've adorned your baby room with it. the ark with the animals. See, God doesn't hold back. He gives us the good, the bad, and the ugly. His autobiography says, hey, this is why I am who I am. Because I am wholly good, and I cannot coexist with evil. And that's why we must come to know Jesus Christ. And he just doesn't tell us the good stuff. And he reminds us throughout his scripture that he abhors evil. Now, some of us want to pick and choose parts of the Bible that we want to believe. Now, understand, this is without error, infallible, meaning the original manuscripts are without error, infallible. Has there ever been a mistake in a translation? Probably so. But the original manuscripts are 100% inerrant, completely truthful. And infallible, meaning completely trustworthy, mean God's word is completely trustworthy to apply to your lives. And some people actually try to question the Bible for its historical authenticity. And one of the things I gained from doing the theological studies that I did is the development production of the Bible, how it was put together, helping me understand that better. So the Bible has been proven to be true and accurate in historical text, and in the very word of God we have it. It's more reliable. The Bible is more reliable than any ancient text that we have in terms of the number of manuscripts that are available and in terms of the fact that they match up the way they do with such preciseness, more accurate than any other documents of antiquity. See, the Bible is infallible. The Bible is inerrant. And so, when we want truth, we have to start with the Bible. John 16, 13 through 14 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to share with us internally to us. He's going to speak to us about the truth that's in God's word. So we start with God's word as the first place to start. And then verse 14 says, in John 16 we continue, he will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is going to declare God's word. So the first thing we do is we get into God's word. The second way to discern truth, really, it comes from our confession. That Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That confession is a way that we discern truth. Because through our faith in him and our surrender to him, we're changed. Whether you want to be or not, you're changed to be more like him. And that change is recognizable, or it should be recognizable in our lives. And we see the world differently. See, and Christ's light exposes, the light of Christ exposes those things that were hidden in the darkness. Those things that were in the recesses of our minds. Those things that were kept in the depths of our souls. See, those things are exposed to us. And we understand our own sin and our own evil. And we're changed because of it. See, the second way to discern truth is that confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right. And to believe that God raised him from the dead. And the third way to discern truth is, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us in understanding God's word. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit emboldens us, gives us courage to live out our faith and to share the gospel. So through God's word, through our confession, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can understand the Spirit of truth. And it's eternal, and it's foundational, and it's from God. It's of God. And it is Jesus Christ. So now that we kind of understand what the spirit of truth is, we have to test those spirits of deception. John continues in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 4. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Is this type of spirit already in the world? Oh, absolutely. Has been for generations. The things that I talk about, you know, what was so funny is that BMAC, my wife, of course, she found the Billy Graham channel on Sirius XM. So she started listening to Billy Graham one night, and she said, wow, I wonder how recent this sermon was, because he's talking about all that he was talking about, the things that this generation, young people in this generation are dealing with, the sexual immorality, the problem with identity, the problem with addictions and depression. She said, wow, this must be really recent. He must have done this really old in his, you know, late into his ministry. And then he came on and said, oh, this is a sermon from 1969. It's the same issues we've been dealing with. It's just, in those days, it wasn't all over social media. In those days, it wasn't being shared the way it's being shared now and being thrown in our face the way it's being thrown in our face, but the problem still existed. But let me give you some examples of messages muttered by the spirits of deception, because they're prevalent in this world. First of all, you've probably heard this. Every religion is a valid path to God. That's universalism. A lot of our Christian churches are actually moving that direction, which is scary. Every religion, as long as you're a good person and you try to follow a moral path, then you'll be in heaven. It's just not true. See, the problem is that these other religions, and I'm going to talk about a couple of them here in a second, these other religions don't point to Jesus Christ. These other religions don't confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. These other religions don't have the same fundamental truth that is in God's Word. And so we have to understand that universalism is a problem in our society. And you've probably heard it. Well, he's a good person, so I know he's going to go to heaven. He goes to this other type of religious church type thing. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way. Amen. Another example is this prosperity gospel. I believe that this is a false teaching. It scares me that so many of these prosperity gospel churches are drawing in so many Christians to start believing this distorted gospel. God wants to make his children healthy, wealthy, and happy. I mean, that's just not the promise of God. The promise of God is he promises hardship in this side of heaven. However, he promises joy through the trials. If we stay in his presence. See, prosperity, the problem with prosperity is it can get in the way of the gospel. It can get in the way of Jesus Christ, because what we do is we start worshiping the wealth, the health, the popularity, the possessions, our own children. We start worshiping those things and not Jesus Christ. And so this prosperity gospel is another example. You know, it's Father's Day this month, and my birthday is later in this month, and I have to share it with Pride Month. The perversion of a generation. We celebrate this, and it hurts my heart. Because not only are we saying that we want people to love us and accept us within our sin and failures and flaws, but we want people to actually celebrate those sins and those failings. It's a perversion of a generation. Well, K-Mac, have you ever dealt with kids that are struggling with these types of things, with gender confusion, with homosexuality, with these types of... Yes, I have. And what I can promise you, if you're a parent, I can promise you this. I'm going to love your child through it. I'm going to love them through it. But I believe honestly that if you are right with Jesus Christ in your relationship with him, then he's going to expose sin. And he's going to call you to himself. And he's going to help you find a way out. In 1838, I should say, there's a man called Joseph Smith, not our Joseph Smith, claimed to find tablets. He claimed to find tablets. And he claimed that an angel gave him special glasses, to understand this foreign language that was on these tablets, which according to the Book of Mormon is the true story of God. He claimed that the Bible was corrupt, not inerrant and infallible, but corrupt and insufficient. So both errant and fallible is what they claim. And that message today is still prevalent in those sectors of belief. Nearly 15 million people have followed these false teachings. See, because Smith placed himself above Scripture. You see, when you start picking and choosing which Scripture you're going to follow, then you have placed yourself above Scripture. You had made Scripture about man and not about Jesus Christ, not about God. You know, there's this guy, late night TV, sometimes on weekends. See, I do my best work real late at night. That's when I can actually write and focus for some reason. I don't like it that way. That's just the way it is. Sometimes at midnight, I'll be just clicking away. And there's this late night dude who comes on the television on these commercials, infomercials. Miracle spring water. Miracle spring water. I said, okay, I got to figure this out. Because I don't know if you order this miracle spring water. Because if you order miracle spring water, what happens is you get healing. What happens is you get wealth. What happens is you get blessings that come from this miracle spring water. And I said, okay, well, I got to figure out, do I drink it? When it shows up, do I just drink it? Because it comes in like a little plastic, like tab. Like, you know, your lotion sometimes comes in these little, little squares, you know, that you rip off the top and squeeze it out type of thing. So it comes in something similar to that. So he's going to send it to you. And I said, so I had to do some research. I said, so do I drink it? I didn't buy one. So do I drink it, or do I pour it on my head, or what do I do with this miracle spring water? Because they didn't really explain that in the infomercial. At least I didn't pay attention long enough to figure it out. But apparently, what you do is you sleep with it, and then the next day you drink it, and then you return the used container to this fella, and you're going to receive these incredible blessings. As a matter of fact, some people that were giving testimonies on TV, they had money mysteriously show up in their bank accounts. So I researched this a little bit because I was trying to figure this out. Now, before this particular fella was doing miracle spring water, he was doing miracle manna and the blessed water and holy sand. He's tried all kinds of stuff he's been selling people. So in the mid-2000s, this one Peter Popoff is his name, a self-proclaimed prophet, he started with this miracle spring water. Now my problem is there's people that are falling for this. There's people that are sending him money. And he's a known fraud and a fake. He's already been exposed before. But yet they send him donations of money. See, Isaiah 30, verses 10 through 13 tell us that, see, the problem is this is what the world, this is the kind of stuff the world wants. They say to the seers, do not see. In other words, they say to the prophets, don't tell us what's actually going to come. They say to the seers, don't see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy the truth to us. Tell us flattering things. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Leave the pathway, rid us of the Holy One of Israel. And therefore, the Holy One of Israel responds. He says, because you have rejected this message and have trusted in oppression and deceit. Because that's what all of this stuff that we just talked about is. It's oppression and deceit. And have depended on them, this iniquity of yours will be like a crumbling gap, a bulge in a huge wall, whose collapse will come on an instant and suddenly. See, our generation, what we want to hear is flattering things. No, don't tell us the truth. Tell us things that are going to make us feel good about ourselves, even in our sin. Tell us things that are going to make us feel good. Make us believe that we can just continue doing what we're doing, that we won't experience change, that we can continue to live the way the world will accept us and still be a follower of Christ. See, it just doesn't work that way. Acts 20, verses 30 through 31 says that men will rise up even in your own number and distort the truth to lure the disciples into following them. And therefore, be on the alert. Remember that night and day for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each one of you, with tears. You know, we have pastors, and what I'll really call them is charlatans. Don't ask me for names, because I will address them before I tell you about them. But we have charlatans in our own community who have led people astray, who have taken advantage of people, who have damaged and destroyed lives, preaching a false theology and a false gospel. Scottish pastor Eric Alexander has said that the only way I know to cultivate a spirit of discernment and true wisdom is being able to tell the difference between truth and error. It is a concentrated commitment to the study of Scripture. So if we're going to begin with discerning true and false spirits, we ground ourselves in the Bible. Because it's the source of all truth. It's the supreme authority in all spiritual matters. It contains everything necessary for salvation and spiritual growth. So then the last point I need to make to you is that prevailing over false spirits. How do we prevail then over false spirits? Well, it says in verses 4 through 6 of 1 John chapter 4, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, meaning these false spirits, because the one who is in you, power of the Holy Spirit, is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And anyone who knows God listens to us. And anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. How do we prevail over false spirits? How do you prevail over false spirits? You don't have to. Not on your own. See, the helper, the Holy Spirit, guides us in recognizing and prevailing over such false spirits. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. That you will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. We already know victory. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you already know victory. So give your sins to Him. Give your alcohol abuse. Give Him your lies. Give Him your sexual immorality, whatever form that comes in. Give it to Him. Give Him your anger. Give Him your bitterness. Give Him your gossip. Yeah. Don't give it to social media. Give it to Him. Amen. And give it to Him in prayer. Yeah. It can be hard to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to live differently than the world that's around you. But you can know true peace and you can know true joy through Him. 1 John 5:3-4, we're going to get to that real soon, but let me just read from it right now, looking ahead. For this is what love for God is, to keep His commands. And His commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. Your confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your belief that He was raised from the dead, with that, you've conquered the world. Amen. With that, you know victory. Amen. With the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you have more than what the world can give to you. See, your faith, it's about understanding the spirit of truth. It's about testing those spirits of deception, those things that the world is trying to tell you, or things that you should believe that are false doctrine and false theology and falsehoods. And how do we prevail over false spirits? By the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Let me go back to verse 2. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. If you're right with Him, you will live in truth, you will live in light and love, and you will live in obedience to His Word. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, let's pray. And as I begin to pray, the worship team will be coming forward. And this is the time when you can respond to God's word. Maybe there's something this morning that the Holy Spirit is nudging you to do, convicting you of, compelling you to respond to. Don't try to suppress that. Let Him work. Let God work. Let Him give you the courage to respond the way that you should respond. Today, maybe you need to know Jesus Christ. Confess Him as coming in the flesh. Confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life for the first time. Maybe that's today. Maybe today you need to join with us as we try to do God's work in a way that brings Him honor and glory and praise in this community and beyond. Maybe today you come and you say, you know, I've confessed and I believe, but I've never been baptized, because that's really the first step of obedience. And if we're going to live in obedience, we need to take that first step. Maybe there's just some prayer that you need this morning. The pastors will be down front. Just come meet one of us here. Let's pray. God, we love You. We thank You for Your truth, the truth of Your word. We thank You that when Jesus Christ comes, He exposes what is in the darkness. He reveals that which we need to be convicted of. God, help us to live right with Him. Help us to live right with You. God, we want to walk with You in fellowship. We want to walk with You in obedience. God, we want to demonstrate that through our servant heart, through the way that we love sacrificially, unconditionally, God. We want people to see You in us, the change that has taken place. Help me, because I can't do that on my own. God, help me to prevail over those things in this world that try to convince me that I don't need to follow You in obedience, that try to draw me away from Your word, that try to convince me that some of Your word is outdated. God, help me to prevail over such false spirits. God, now we just ask that You would have hearts respond the way that You would have them respond to Your word, to Your love, to Your sacrifice. God, we love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.